Mike Trim here. We're again with Dr. Dick Swinston of Cross Point Community Church in Centennial. Dr. Winston, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. It's always great to be here with you, Mike.
So Hanukkah, why should Christians be happy about Hanukkah? Yeah. I can't wait for this.
Yeah. You know, so many Christians, I grew up this way. This is how I grew up. I said, wow, they've co-opted Christmas.
Yeah.
It's just something for them to get presents. So they aren't, you know, like, oh, but, you know, they, you know, my Jewish friends growing up says, but we get them for 8 days. And I said, wait a minute, that's not fair. We have got to eat it all in one day. What I didn't know is that Hanukkah came a lot before Christmas, and most people don't. Now, what I'd like to do is to look at the history of Hanukkah, because most Christians, they know about the dreidel, Adam Sandler song that he sung, or they know about, you know, the candelabra, they light the lights, but
yes,
most Christians
yes
don't understand the importance of Hanukkah to our Jewish friends, and it is a very important holiday festival. Now, the first thing I would say, it is a non-Mosaic festival. If you look in the Old Testament, what I mean by that, if you look in the Old Testament, you have, for instance, I'll give you a couple of the everybody knows about Passover, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, as they call it. Everybody knows about those things. But Hanukkah is not one of the five Jewish festivals that Moses inaugurated. It came in 164, I might be off by a year, or 162 BC. And there's a good reason for that. And I believe there's a God reason for that. And I believe because of that, we as Christians should be very happy about Hanukkah and maybe even light a menorah in our house. I know that's getting radical, but we're, as long as we understood what happens, I think that might not be a bad idea. And it might give us opportunities to dialogue with our Jewish friends.
Yes.
Let's talk about it. I know what it means to me, and I'm going to tell as a Christian, as a pastor, what it means to me. And it would be a great opportunity to open a dialogue with your Jewish friends and hopefully get to a point where you could talk about Jesus. But let me give you a little bit of the history of that. Daniel predicts it. And I'll go into that in just a moment. But the history is there was a king, an evil king. He was a Greek king. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And he came out of the broken Greek Empire of Alexander. He was one of the four kingdoms, the Seleucids, of which he was a part of that. He came out of that, and eventually he came to power. Now, when that broke up, Alexander's reign broke up, you had these four different kingdoms, and he was in charge eventually over what the Bible calls the beautiful land. And he was going to try to Hellenize, because he's Greek, the Jewish people. Now, I can't think of a more unachievable goal in my life. That is, he wanted to take the Jews and move them away from the worship of the true God Yahweh into worshiping the pantheon of Greek gods. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that he had a whole different moral framework than the Jews. Well, he got mad at Israel, and he invaded Israel, and as you know, he desecrates the temple, and he comes in and he tears down the temple, temple and the Jewish altar, and he erects a statue of Zeus upon it. And erecting the statue of Zeus upon it, if that's not enough, he decides to start sacrificing pigs. Now, this is not something that if you wanted to win the hearts and minds of the Jewish people, you do. He did that. You can find this spoken of in Daniel, the 8th chapter. So the first reason we should be happy about Hanukkah, even though it is a non-Mosaic feast, it's not in the Old Testament, you don't find Hanukkah, you do find the events predicted in Daniel, the 8th chapter. And in Daniel, the 8th chapter, it said, and you can, this is not some weird pastor come up with something. I mean, I wasn't on magic mushrooms or something when I came up with this. I've never been on magic mushrooms, I guess I should say. But this was not something weird that I've just come up with. You could look at the Moody Bible commentary, a respected commentary. You could look at Tony Evans' Bible commentary, respected commentary. The Bible Knowledge commentary put out by theological professors at Dallas Seminary. You could look at all those, and they would agree with this position that Daniel predicts the coming of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, in Daniel the 8th chapter, and again, I'm not going to go into all the details. Please, I hope the listeners will read through this. There's a little horn predicted in the 8th chapter of Daniel. That is Antiochus Epiphanes. There's another little horn that is predicted out of the Roman Empire in Daniel the 7th chapter. You can go back and read these things. They're two different things. But Antiochus Epiphanes is what is known as the second Antichrist, the littler Antichrist, because he is prefiguring what the coming Antichrist will do in the temple. He will commit the abomination of desolation that you find in Matthew, the 24th chapter. That is where he makes everybody worship him, and he desecrates the temple during the tribulation period. I believe halfway through the tribulation, he does that. Daniel speaks of Antiochus Epiphanes, and it says in Daniel the 8th chapter that he is going to make sacrifices stop for 1,150 days. And that's exactly what happened until a man by the name of Judas Maccabees routed the Greeks, the Seleucids, that were in the temple and took back Jerusalem. And there was a brief period of time where Israel was independent. They didn't have Greece ruling them. And that was before Rome took over and ruled them. It was independence. And that's why you find it in the non-canonical books, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, that are in the Roman Catholic Bible. They're not in the evangelical or the 66 books of the Bible that most Protestants have. And that's a whole different story at another time. But the first reason you should be happy about it is God predicted it. You see, all of history, God occasionally gives us a little glimpse into what's going to happen. And he told us, and I cannot help but think that when Judah Maccabees was warring against the Greeks, he says it's only supposed to last for 1,150 days. If we can stay faithful, we'll win this war. What a great message for Christians, because I don't know about you, but I think that we are in a cultural war as well. And it's easy to give up. I am so glad those Jews fought with all they had, knowing that God was as good as his word. So the first reason you need to be happy about Hanukkah is God predicted those events. The second reason is you need to be happy about Hanukkah is Jesus observed it. Wait, it is in the Bible. If you look in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 22, Jesus is at the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah. You see, all Hanukkah, dedication, Hanukkah means dedication. They were rededicating the temple. Now, here's the amazing thing. 2 months before that, Jesus was in the same temple. You can read about it in John 7 and 8 chapter. And he was there for a Mosaic feast. That is, he was there for the Feast of Tabernacles. It is during the Feast of Tabernacles in John the 8th chapter that Jesus stands up. And there was two huge lights in the temple that they would light toward the end of the celebration. Jesus, toward the end of the celebration, stood up and says, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me shall not walk in darkness. Now, again, if you wanted to blow the Judeans' mind out, get there and say that in the midst of the feast or the end of it or the crescendo of it, of the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus said that. Now, Then we pick up in John 10:22, it says he's in the temple again and it's winter. So Tabernacles comes right before Hanukkah. Probably about, it changes because it's a lunar calendar, but about 2 months prior to that, that's when he was at the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know if Jesus stayed there in the temple and taught, or he went out and did something else, but he's there again. And they come up to them and say, tell us plainly, are you the Messiah? He said, well, I don't know if you were there 2 months ago, but I kind of said, I am the light of the world and God is light. And I kind of said that. And by the way, remember in the 8th chapter or the 9th chapter where I restored the sight to that young man? Who can do that? I did that. So my words and my works testify who I am. So what I would say is that Jesus observed Hanukkah. He was there. And here's the greatest, here's the crazy thing. During Hanukkah, every Jew was hoping Messiah would return and free them like Judas Maccabees did. Well, he's there! But it says there in John the 10th chapter, Jesus says, but you were unwilling to believe. They could have had Messiah. They chose not to believe. There's a third reason that I think Hanukkah is so important, and that is that God promised it. What I mean by that, he didn't promise the celebration of Hanukkah, but he certainly predicted those events. Jesus observed it, but he promised to spare the Jewish nation. In Genesis 12th chapter, he makes an unconditional, unilateral covenant with Abraham that he would be a blessing to all nations. And that covenant is continually in the Davidic covenant, 2 Samuel 7:12-14. He promises that David shall have a son that will reign forever, an eternal kingdom. Now, all the descendants of David had died. One that won't die is that he died for 3 days, but he's come back to life, and that's Jesus Christ. Now, I got this from Paul Glasser, that is of the Chosen People Ministries, and it's a great statement he makes. He says that had there not been any Hanukkah, had Hanukkah never come, then we might not have had Christmas. In fact, if Hanukkah had not come, we need to cancel Christmas. There was a potential that Christmas would have to be canceled. Paul Glasser says this, the Feast of Dedication is when we as Jews celebrate the fact that we were delivered or saved from extinction. This was Antiochus's goal. He tried to destroy the Jewish people and eradicate the uniqueness of our identity. He failed, and the Jewish people and our culture, hopes, and dreams, and faith were not destroyed. If we had been, then what would have happened to Mary and Joseph? Would they have known they were Jewish? Would they have married one another? If the Jewish people and Jewish identity had been destroyed, then there would not have been any Jewish people and no Jewish family to receive the Messiah.
Dix, you unpacked that so well.
It's so exciting.
And so many Christians don't know what to do.
They don't.
Now,
that's a reason to be happy about Hanukkah.
Well, it's a reason to talk to a Jewish friend,
absolutely,
too. Somebody at work or a neighbor.
Take them out for lunch and say, I just found out that we as Christians have a reason to be happy about Hanukkah.
You'll get a blank face.
A blank face.
Person full fall over. Yeah. And then you pick him up and say, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
We should be happy.
We should be very happy about Hanukkah.
Now, your Christmas Eve service at Cross Point, before we go, let's talk about that. It's 4 p.m.
4 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And we will just have a great time. We'll have the candle lighting ceremony, all the traditional stuff. We'll sing hymns, and I'll deliver a short, I'll call it a sermonette, about 20 minutes. And I'll unwrap the gifts of Christmas. The names of Jesus, his coronation names. And he shall be called Wonderful. And you know the rest. I'll unwrap those on Christmas Eve.
Very powerful. And I want someone that hears this interview to walk up to you and say, I'm very happy about Hanukkah.
I would
love
that. That would make my evening. That'd be great.
Cross Point Community Church.
Yes, in Centennial, Colorado. Website is crosspointco.org.
Crosspointco.org. Right. Dr. Winston, thank you so much for
taking
the time
with us. Thank you, Mike. Great being with you.